Drinking water and restrooms are readily available to most school children in America. That is not the case across the developing world. Special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro reports on schools coming together around water. Part of this story was shot in Uganda just before the pandemic. It's part of his series, Agents for Change.
Rwanda.
Across the developing world, many schools lack not only books or desks, but something even more basic, water, to drink for sanitation.
I grew up in a village in Uganda. Houses didn't have water, kitchens didn't have water, schools never had water.
So without water, there's a lot less education going on fundamentally.
That's what I'm saying.
Twesigye Jackson Kaguri founded Nyaka, a school tucked high in southern Uganda's mountainous region. It provides free education to children who've lost a parent to HIV/AIDS. Kaguri, who now lives in Michigan, vividly remembers those early years, still the reality for millions of children around the world.
Going to school at 7 a.m. in the morning and finish school at 5 p.m. without drinking a sip of water. When I set out to build schools, one of the things I was determined to have is clean water.
The Nyaka school's clean water comes from a rain collection system. The local community raised some funds to install these large tanks and provided material and labor. But a significant chunk of the funding came from an unlikely source.
Mind you, a hula hoop contest right now.
School fundraisers in suburban White Bear Lake, Minnesota. There's plenty of water here, but students haven't come to this event just to soak their teachers. It's an exercise in building empathy for children elsewhere who work literally, laboriously, to fetch water for their daily use. The Minnesota students get a tiny idea of what that's like, carrying 2-liter bottles for a mile along the lakeshore, or carrying buckets of lake water a few hundred feet for a chance to dunk teacher Ben Butters, who helped connect his students to the Ugandan school. Butters teaches physical education at Matoska International School, part of the local district.
We just work together all year long, coming up with ideas on how we can conserve water at our school and in our town and at homes, and how we could teach that to the younger kids. And then we connect that to the global issue, where some kids their age have to walk miles for water.
His water curriculum and the Uganda connection was made possible by H2O for Life, a group that partners schools across the U.S. and Canada with those in developing countries and recently the Navajo Nation.
I had a friend in Kenya that asked me if I knew anybody who could help him because his community was desperate for water, their kids were dying.
Retired Minnesota school teacher Patty Hall founded H2O for Life in 2007.
So I wrote a letter back and said, how much would it cost? And he said 700,000 Kenya shillings, and I kind of choked until I realized that meant $7,000.
All right, girls, come on in here.
By the end of the school year, Hall and her students raised nearly double that. Inspired, she founded H2O for Life and has so far helped about 1,800 North American schools create nearly 1,000 water and sanitation projects in low-resource settings. These projects are only half-funded on purpose.
Well, I got good advice from a really smart man in the water sector who said, don't fund an entire project and make it a gift, because then it's not owned by the community. You want to do a shared project so that the community has buy-in and it's going to be sustainable for the future.
Hello.
Jackson, Ben Butters.
Nice to meet you, Jackson.
A visit made that connection to the world even more personal. Kaguri visited Hall, Butters, and a group of H2O for Life students in White Bear Lake.
So because of your help and hard work and generosity, girls like you now have clean water.
Seventh grader Ava Barth is one of the program's so-called water warriors.
I realized how much I was taking water for granted, and like I really wanted to help people that didn't have water like available to them every day.
Just before the pandemic, Hall led a tour group to some of H2O for Life schools, including Nyaka, where 17-year-old Prima Nayabari played host.
Before we had water in our school, we suffered so much. We could fetch water from very far, carrying jerrycans from very far places.
So now you're able to use the time to do something else. What are you using the time to do?
We are using the time to revise our books, do our personal administration like washing, bathing, preparing books for the next day.
If we build a culture of kids, a generation of students that take actions and see others as equals and treat people kindly and give them the same dignity that everyone deserves, that's my hope for the whole world right there.
For its part, H2O for Life hopes to see a sharp increase in school partnerships in the next year. Even with the pandemic disruptions, the group says it raised some $210,000 in the most recent school year, enough to fund 75 water and sanitation projects in places where it will make a big difference. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro.
Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.